It's time for Motherlode Views, a look at the issues important to the quality of life in the Motherlode. Motherlode Views is brought to you by Nate's Tree Service. No job is too big or too small. Call 532-2460.
Well, good morning and welcome to Motherlode Views. I'm BJ Hansen, your host. We're going to be talking about the most recent fire season. We're still in the midst of fire season here in October on this weekend's Motherlode Views. We're joined in studio by a pair of guests from the U.S. Forest Service. We have the Deputy Forest Fire Management Officer with the Stanislaus National Forest, Clint Gould, as well as Curtis Kwame, who is a soil scientist with the U.S. Forest Service. So first off, thank you so much for coming in today.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thank you.
So, Chief Gould, I'll start first with you. The fire season, it's been pretty hectic. We had the Donnell Fire, also the Ferguson Fire in the Sierra National Forest. What are kind of your observations on the season we had?
It's been a long one. Pretty much since 2013, the state of California in general has responded to a fire every month in that time span. So things have been rather exciting for our firefighters. Thomas Fire, for example, December of 2017, we sent a lot of resources from the Stanislaus to help down in Southern California, and that is something that hasn't been done in a long time. The season's been going hot and heavy all year long to where we've had resources off the forest almost every month since January 1st.
The Donnell Fire was the big one, of course, over the summer in the Stanislaus National Forest. What were some of the big challenges with the Donnell Fire?
The Donnell Fire happened August 1st, which at that time there was multiple large fires going on throughout the state of California, state and federal fires. So getting resources was one of the biggest challenges we had at the beginning of the fire. We had the car fire up out of Redding that was burning through the town of Redding, the Mendocino Complex, which was the largest fire in California history to this date. We also had the Ferguson, which was just to the south of us that was going, that actually burned onto the Stanislaus also. So getting resources, the amount of smoke that was in the air, not being able to get aircraft in the air as quick and when we needed it. We were able to get some aircraft up, and they'd come over and say, "We can't get under the smoke." So that was some of the biggest challenges, getting personnel and aircraft to our fire.
Having those fires so close together, Donnell and Ferguson, was there cooperation to try to get resources available?
Yes, we actually work well with all the incident management teams within the state, and we were able to pull some of the resources off of there on a loan basis until we could get the resources that we needed here for our fire.
A lot of people, of course, are curious how the Donnell Fire started. We haven't heard yet. Is there anything you can say in regards to that?
It is under investigation. I mean, I know people don't want to hear that. They want to know what it is. But due to the legalities of it, we have to wait to release until the investigators can truly release that cause. As with the Ferguson, it was 3 months from the date that fire started to when they actually were able to release that cause. So we are getting closer to being able to release that information.
The various different agencies that were involved with the Donnell Fire, with the Sheriff's Office, the County, Forest Service, CAL FIRE, did everyone work pretty well together?
Extremely well. Without our cooperators in the county and outside the county that came to assist, we wouldn't have been able to do what we did.
Was tree mortality a challenge in the Donnell Fire area?
Being at higher altitude, we don't get as much tree mortality up at that altitude. The conditions is what surprised us. Being over that 7,000 foot mark, we normally don't see fires burn with that intensity at that altitude.
A lot of times during big fires, people in the community hear about different teams coming in and bigger teams. Can you explain how that process worked and what happened with the Donnell Fire?
At first, we have a Type 4 IC, local person on the forest. They responded to it. Due to its location and the way the winds were blowing, it was unsafe for us to hike people down to that fire. So we waited till the next morning on August 2nd when the winds were blowing down canyon that we could actually hike people down with the wind to keep them safe to get on scene. Once they got down there, the fire, they did their work. Later in the afternoon, a little bit after 12, winds came up and threw a spot fire above about an 80-foot tall rock shelf that they couldn't get to, and that's what started that fire moving. Once they got out, I talked with the IC, communicated with our forest supervisor that it looked like we needed to escalate it to a larger team. We called in a local incident management team type 3, which is local folks, and then from there placed the order through the geographical area coordination center to get a type 2 incident management team rolling. So there is some time lag when you're calling for those type 2 teams and bigger, because those individuals are coming from all throughout the state. So it did take a little bit of time delay, but from the time we ordered the team to the time they took over was a 3-day process.
When you get those bigger teams, you get more priority when it comes to resources?
Resources are prioritized on the threat. So due to having the structures in front of the fire, we were able to pull in more resources. Granted, like I said earlier, with the Mendocino complex and the car going, everyone had structures threatened, so they were prioritizing on the number of structures that were threatened.
When fires get out into those canyons and those isolated areas, that's got to be pretty challenging, I imagine.
It is. Trying to gain access and keep our firefighters safe is the biggest challenge, because the farther we put someone away from a road or in an area where we can't get aircraft to come in and extract them in case of an injury, it puts firefighters at risk. So incident management teams and fire management officers really have to put that in consideration when we say where we're going to put people on the line.
Anything else with the Donnell fire that kind of surprised you or you didn't expect? It was just kind of unique with that fire?
Unique, like I said earlier, the location at the 7,000-foot area, we haven't had a fire burn like that on the Stanislaus as far as I can remember. The altitude and the location itself was surprising on how it burnt and how fast it burnt. We had a 6-mile run in one day, and that is a lot of acres burnt in one burning period, primarily due to wind, and it fuel conditions were right.
So the wind shifts and takes it off in a different direction?
We had red flag conditions that materialized. We were getting 20 to 30 mile an hour winds that were blowing steadily up canyon, which drove that fire up that canyon.
And last I've heard was about 36,450 acres. Does that sound about the latest for the total size?
Yes, and we're still holding it about 90 to 95% contained, and that's just due to we've got line around it, the location. We still got smoke coming out of it. We're waiting for a season-ending event, which is a large rainstorm, to pretty much be able to say we're comfortable with putting it out.
So likely by the heart of the winter when we start getting the really heavy stuff, then we'll see it completely out?
Yes.
We're talking fire on this weekend's Motherlode Views, joined in studio by a couple of guests during this first segment. We've been talking with Clint Gould, who is the Deputy Forest Fire Management Officer with the Stanislaus National Forest. Also be talking with Curtis Kwame very shortly, who is the soil scientist with the U.S. Forest Service. You know, one thing I want to ask you a little bit, too, is just now that we're kind of getting to the quieter time of the fire season, it seems like it does, as you kind of alluded to, go year-round. Will we see quite a bit more prescribed burning in the forest?
We've actually started on all three highway corridors that the Stanislaus has, at Highway 4, 108, and 120. They're burning up in the Jawbone Ridge area on the Groveland and different locations up on the 108. So just this week alone, we've done about 800 acres worth of prescribed fire.
For those who aren't familiar, what are kind of the main benefits of doing prescribed fires?
It's more or less it's controlled. We're setting the tone at which we want to fight that fire. We've got the control lines already put in place. We have to monitor weather conditions, and we will not burn if the weather conditions in the prescription, which is in the burn plan that we have to write, says that the conditions are unfavorable, we're not going to put fire on the ground.
We're going to take a break. We're talking fire and forest fires, specifically on this weekend's Motherlode Views, joined in studio by a pair of guests from the Stanislaus National Forest, the big focus being the Donnell fire that ignited over the summer. We're going to also be talking a lot about what comes next with the Donnell fire and surveying the damage during our next segment. That we'll be talking with Curtis Kwame, who is a soil scientist with the U.S. Forest Service. I'm B.J. Hansen, your host. Motherlode Views is brought to you by Nate's Tree Service, where no job is too big or too small. We'll return with our second segment in just a minute.